The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Burt, CEO and founder of East Imperial. EISB is ticker. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Justin.
Yeah, do you know what? It's nice to get you on, because I just mentioned before we hit the record button here that I've noticed your company being talked about by quite a few investors, some quite good investors I know on social media. So it's an exciting area, and I know the share price has done well since you listed there. So we'll get into all that. Before we do, for people not familiar with East Imperial, Tony, could you summarize what the business is about, please?
Certainly, Justin. Well, East Imperial is a premium beverage company. We started in New Zealand in early 2013, and now we're well established throughout the Asia Pacific region, the US, and pockets in Europe. We create a line of all natural mixes and beverages, which are all naturally low in sugar. Mm-hmm. Come in multiple formats, so 150ml bottles, half-liter bottles, and cans, and can be found currently at some of the world's leading hotels, restaurants, bars, and events.
Yeah, I've noticed some decent supply agreements already being released, so that's good. But so you say East Imperial targets a market defined as the ultra-premium market. Can you explain that to us, please, Tony?
Certainly. Well, ultra-premium, or premiumization, as it were, is a trend which has been kind of affecting the drinks industry and the FMCG industry for a number of years now. It's actually the macro trend that really got us going in this business. And what it really means is that consumers are actually starting to demand products which are just that little bit better, and in a lot of cases it's been driven also by a kind of a wellness trend as well, like people drinking less but drinking better.
Yeah.
Premiumization is prevalent in many categories, as I said. I think probably one of the most famous ones is craft beer. And of course, premium spirits. If you just look at the growth of gin over the last 10 years, it's just been incredible. But we're also starting to see it sort of play out across the board now. Over the last few years, we've seen a lot more premium rums, whiskies, bourbons. In the US, we see an incredible amount of premium mezcals, tequilas. And, those sorts of products coming to market are really pulling us along and driving demand. It's also, I think, this whole idea of premiumization, we're seeing it in every single region that we're in, and adoption is happening at different paces. If you look, for example, the UK is a number of years ahead of the US, but the US is coming on board at the moment with it. And New Zealand is quite further ahead than, say, Australia. But Australia, again, is really starting to gather pace. And so, again, all these sort of areas coming online now just makes it really exciting for what we're doing.
Yeah. And I know at the moment it's sort of in lockdown over there. Before we touch on the pandemic and how it shaped your current strategy there, you've announced some supply agreements already, so that's going well. And so just tell us where you are in your growth story. Are you selling now? Are you in most places? I mean, or is it just in Australia? Just tell us about where you are.
We're obviously, we're very strong in New Zealand, obviously given it as our home market. When we set up the business, we really focus on purpose in Asia Pacific region, mm-hmm. because the competitors were focused on Europe, and American competitors focused on the US. And so it made sense for us to sort of focus on our own backyard. And so we're very, very strong in this region. And then from that, we've taken the steps about 5 years ago into pockets of the US, namely California, Florida, New York, Illinois, a little bit into Washington as well as Texas. So, we're in about 20 different markets at the moment. We're not in the business of collecting markets, to be honest with you, Justin. Mm-hmm. What we're in the business of is actually going into the right markets and going deep and wide into them. And so, that's what we're doing at the moment. We've got our eyes on a few other markets, UK being another one, obviously, mm-hmm. Given the listing back in July. So, we're working hard to bring the product to that part of the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the pandemic here has hit businesses, massively, supply chains as well at the moment. But how has it shaped your current strategy? And has it affected it negatively in any way? Or is it, you found some areas of opportunity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you touched on both of them, right? I think, you know, the closures is obviously, you know, is going to affect us. You know, on-trade is in a very important channel for us. So the restaurants, hotels and bars, and every single market that we're in. And in some markets like the US, that was predominantly our only channel that we were focusing in on. You know, but what one of the things it has done for us, you know, when we were kind of, if you can look at the bright side, fortunate enough being in Asia Pacific, that COVID hit here first, you know, China in late January 2020. So that was the very first market that we saw shut down on us. And we kind of, we had chance then to reevaluate and to see how we could actually, you know, recalibrate our strategy and what we're going to do on the go forward. So last year was great for us to do that. And what came out of that really is we decided that we would be looking to relook at the strategy, as I said, but there was three main pillars to it. And the main pillar was, you know, we're going to continue servicing our on-trade accounts as they come back online. And the good news is a lot of that is back online now, you know, particularly in places like US and Asia. I mean, the demand we're seeing in the US now is, you know, outstrips 2019 or pre-COVID. So we can continue to do that because that's our bread and butter, you know, the on-trade side of the business. But you know, the pillar two, which we're really focusing on now, is direct-to-consumer. You mentioned it earlier. You know, we, back in sort of July last year, hired a team to look after our direct-to-consumer play globally. And, you know, we've seen strong triple-digit growth in the last 12 to 18 months in that channel, which has been extremely exciting for us. And now we're just rolling out in multiple territories with established partners, but also through our own online properties. We have a number of East Imperial localized websites, you know, whether that be the US, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand. And you will notice there is one in the UK. It's not e-commerce enabled, but it is our plan to have that enabled shortly. And also important prerequisite for us to realize a direct-to-consumer strategy has also been to have a really cost-effective format. You know, this again has been born out of the pandemic. So we've come up with a very strong can format proposition. Obviously, because they're easier to send and direct to consumer, they're lighter, they don't break. So we're starting to roll that out now. And third and finally, as you mentioned, you know, we've had is off trade. You know, and we've had some great wins in that recently, which we announced a couple of weeks ago to the market. And, you know, we hadn't really focused on off-trade prior to COVID. It was always going to we were always going to, but it really just brought forward our plans to go into those channels. So as I mentioned, you know, Australia and New Zealand, since listing, we've added over 600 outlets. Those are supermarkets and premium liquor retailers across the region. So we now are over 1,000 outlets across the region in Australia and New Zealand. And, you know, so that's really accelerating our growth in this part of the world, and now we're working very hard to replicate that in other markets, namely the US and Asia. So that's really exciting. But also, I think you mentioned it earlier, Justin, you know, we are obviously, like everybody else, you know, subject to these supply chain challenges. We just can't get around them. But again, you know, we've thought long and hard about, we can't see this getting any better in the medium term. And so we're starting to look at ways to mitigate these risks and actually moving our operations adjacent to our key market. So we're in the process of doing that sort of thing at the moment as well.
Understood. Yeah. And so just talk us through how many products do you have at the moment, and do you have plans to, you know, expand that? You did mention cans and stuff, but how many products do you have at the moment then, Tony?
At the moment, we have 11 flavors, and so that's 5 tonic waters. So that's a yuzu tonic, a grapefruit tonic. We do a brilliant collaboration with the Royal Botanical Gardens of Kew and create a Royal Botanic tonic as well. We have our tonic water. We have our Old World tonic. And also, you know, we're not just about having tonics for gin and vodka. We have a very strong portfolio to support our dark spirit strategy as well. So with that, I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier bourbon, whiskies and rums. So, you know, we've got ginger beers, dry ginger ale, and we've just released a cola. It's not easy, Justin, to make a great cola. It took us a while to make one. But we're very, very proud of what we've created. The feedback so far has been magnificent, so we'll continue to roll that out as well. So we've got 11 flavors, and, you know, we've got formats. As I said, we've got a proprietary 150 mil format, which is the perfect pour. Again, which is unique to us. So you put in your double spirit, you put your glass, your double spirit, you put your ice, your garnish, and you put one bottle of our product in there, and that's a perfect pour. And perfect measurement. We have a half litre bottle format as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we've got a canned format, which we're rolling out at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And so looking forward, I mean, obviously you have to navigate the supply chain issue and the pandemic, but what can sort of investors expect over the, say, next 6 to 12 months then, Tony?
Oh, well, you know, we touch on one of the new products. We've got a number of really exciting products to bring to the market. I can't give too much away for obvious reasons, but, you know, the first of that will be rolled out later in Q4. And then we have a roadmap for a couple of others coming out early 2022. So that's really, really exciting for us. I guess, Justin, one of the things that we've always been very proud of here is our ability to spot trends in the market and be able to, you know, have the agility to actually respond to them. And I think products like our Yuzu tonic and grapefruit tonic, which were the first to market, you know, a number of years ago now, you know, is testament to that. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a couple of other SKUs as well, which other people just aren't doing. And so, you know, we're really excited to bring those to the market and see how they're received.
Excellent stuff. Okay, on the front page of Vox Markets, Tony, there's a list of 10 companies there. They are the most followed companies on the platform. And to get on that list, people have to hit that follow button on your page. So if you could, give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add East Imperial to their watch list, please.
Well, I think first and foremost, Justin, I'm the largest shareholder of the company. So I've definitely got skin in this game to make this a success. But I don't think we should turn away from the fact that Asia makes up 60% of the world's population, and there is no clear leader for premium mixes in this market. And premiumization, as I said earlier, is sweeping throughout this region. We're in an absolutely brilliant position. We've got a strong foothold in this market already, given our presence down this part of the world. Secondly, as well as the opportunity in Asia, is really the large market opportunity in the US. As I sort of said earlier, they've been a bit slow to adopt to premium mixes, but someone's poked the bear and they're very much awake now. And so it's really starting to take hold there. We know our competitors are banking a lot on that success in that market as well. And so are we. You know, we've got a good foothold already in some key regions there. And we're just in the process now of hiring out our senior executive team and sales team there. And so, you know, we're really going to go hard there in 2022. And I think probably third and finally, you know, I'm a massive believer of team. It's pivotal to our success. We've been very fortunate enough, and I've been very fortunate enough to be speaking to some very experienced individuals in this industry. You know, when I talk about the drinks industry, who have done this before. So, you know, they're really excited about what we're doing, the opportunity that's been presented by the market. And so we're going to have a very, very strong group of advisors and team behind us as well as we go after this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the share price is doing well since listing. You must be happy with that, isn't he?
Thank you. I'm very happy with that. Very happy with that. You know, it's always a big step to list a company, and there's a little bit of the unknown. But you know, we've always been very proud of our ability to execute and deliver. That's something we pride ourselves on, and that's what we're endeavouring to keep on doing.
Marvellous stuff. Tony, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
That's brilliant, Justin. Thanks for your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.